We're holding on tests, Elmwood Bay's seven lines from the bottom. We talked about yesterday the case where a person has a shur or bur and gives it over to a cheres shur, to a katan, to watch, and we said he's chayev on the other hand with fire not. And we discussed two possibilities how that would be. We said according to Rabbi Yochanan, we're talking about where he gives him an untied shur or an uncovered bur. And with Aish, then the parallel is he gives him an actual flame. And still, we're saying that in the case of the shur or the bur, he's chayev. And in the case of the flame, he's potter, because the flame, it requires the two things together, the cheresh plus the flame, to create a problem. Whereas in the case of the bur and the shur, it's only the just them by themselves are dangerous. And then we had Rish Lakish saying that even if he gave him a tied up shur or covered bur, and the equivalent by the flame would be he just gave him a coal, then he's going to be well. So we said so and by flame the equivalent would be a coal. So by the coal he's potter because it's going to go out on its own, whereas the shur or bur are likely to get loose without the cheder shur tevakotin being involved, according to Rashi, or even that they may get loose because the cheder shur tevakotin is more likely to untie them, according to Tosfos. So now we're going to talk about another. Now we're going to bring a braisa that's going to mention that point about the distinction as far as giving them over to a cheder shur tevakotin, among other differences between the different avos nezikin. So Tanan Rabbanan, there is a chumrah in a shur, and specifically over here by shur we mean teren, where it gores with its horns. There's a chumrah in it more than burr, and vice versa. There's something more stringent in a burr than a shur. Now, we learned the other day that there are distinctions between them in terms of their qualities, of their properties. For example, we said a shur is a living creature, a bird and an eish are not. Therefore, we said we can't learn one from the other. Here we're not focusing on that so much. Here we're focusing on the dinim that you have different between one and the other. As we touched on that the other day, we mentioned some dinim that are different between them. For example, we said that the shur, of course, with keren, you have the fact that first it's tam, then there's muad. You have that shur is only in certain a shein v'regel. The other things that a shur might do are potter and rishos harabim, etc. So we're going to mention those points. We're going to mention some of those points, but we're going to be focusing on other dinim that we have a difference between them. So first of all, chomer b'shur mibur, the chumra of a shur of keren over bur, sha'ashur mashalom es ha'kofer. First of all, if a shur muad kills another person, kills a yid, then the owner, not only does the shur get put to death, but also the owner is chayev to pay a kofer. He's chayev to pay a monetary ransom. We're going to learn later on in the Masechta what the nature of that is exactly, but whatever, the Torah says he has to pay it. Or if it wasn't a ben chorin, if it wasn't a free person, if it was an eved, then V'chayev v'shloshim shel eved, and the owner of the shur has to pay 30 shlo, has to pay 30 shkalim, 30 sloim, to the owner of the eved, regardless of the price of the eved. That's another example of knas. And nigmar dinei osa b'hanah. And another point: once the gmar din has been done, once the verdict has been handed down by Beis Din that this shur is chayev misa, then at that point the animal is osa b'hanah. And v'darkei leilach olahazik, and a shur is something that regularly goes and causes damage. So all of those things, masha'inkin b'bur, none of those things apply to a bur. A bur, so Rashi explains, why is there no koifer when it comes to a bur? Rashi explains, because since we learn, we've touched on before, and we're going to learn in more detail later in the Masechta, the concept called odom v'loi, shur v'loi odom, chamur v'loi kelim, that a person is chayev for a bur, only if an animal falls in there, not if a person falls in, and only if an animal falls in there, not if kelim fall in. So therefore, if a person falls in, even though he gets killed, then the owner of the shur, the owner of the bur, is going to be potter from kofer. Tosfos brings actually a different point of it, though there are other limudim and psukim from which we learn that a person is chayiv and kofer only for certain kinds of nezakin. And among the, and not bur and not bur and not h. whatever the case, the fact is a person is not chayev for kofer with a burr. By the same token, he's not chayev for the 30 sloim for an eved, because those two things go together. A burr, there's no nigma dini osim hana. It's not relevant to talk about that. The burr is not getting skila. And the burr is not darka leila chalahazik. It stays in one place. For that matter, Tosfos points out the shur is a living creature, the bird is not, but that's included. When we say that a shur, dauka leila cholahazik, we mean, in other words, because it's a living creature and it moves around, whereas a bird is not. Then, on the other hand, continues the Braisa, chomer b'bur m'bishur. On the other hand, you have stringencies in a bur over a shur. Shabur tchilas asiyosi l'nezek. When a bur is first made, it's made as a hazard to begin with. Even now, we talked about before, and we're going to talk about soon, that even a burr less than 10 tfachim is capable of causing injury. Only 10 tfachim deep or deeper is capable of killing an animal, b'derech klal. And therefore, we learned the other day that if an animal falls into a burr less than 10 and dies, the owner of the burr is not chayev. Fine, but the fact is that a burr even less than that is still capable of causing injury. Furthermore, burr is something that's moored to begin with. There's no difference between tam and moored when it comes to a burr. And therefore, the person is always chayev nezek sholem, mashen ken b'shur. Those concepts don't apply to a shur, where a shur, you have tam versus moored, and it's not tchilas asiyasi of a nezek. When the shur is born, it's not to begin with a hazard. Continues the baraisa. Chomer b'esh b'shur m'b'esh, chomer b'esh m'b'shur. Likewise, there are chumras as far as shur compared to fire, and there are chumras as far as fire compared to shur. Again, as we just said, that if a shur kills a person and the shur was moored, then the owner is paying a koifer to the yoshim of the victim. And if the victim was an eved knani, then he's paying to the owner 30 sloim. And nigmar dina also b'hana, as we said, once the gmar dina has been done, the ox is also b'hana. Mosri l'cheres shor to a cotton chayev. And like we learned yesterday, if you give over a shur to a cheres shor to a cotton to watch for you, and the shur goes and causes damage, then you chayev, as we learned yesterday. And again, according to Rish Lakish, that would be even if the animal was tied up, because it tends to get untied, or because the cheres shor to a cotton themselves are likely to untie it. So that was according to the Shlokish. And on the other hand, with a fire, we said you give him a coal, the coal will go out on its own. According to Rabbi Yochanan, we said even if the ox or the burr are untied or uncovered, that would be when you chayev, and even so, you potter with fire, because fire takes two factors, the cheresh plus the fire, to cause damage, whereas by the other not. Anyway, Masha Enken Be'esh, none of those concepts apply to Esh. On the other hand, Chomer Be'esh Me'beshur, and Tosfos again points out, a Shur is a living creature, as we learned at the beginning of, in the first Mishnah of our Masechta. But that's included in this point of Cheresh Shur to a cotton. Why is it that you're more Chayev with them and Potter when it comes to fire with a Cheresh Shur to a cotton? It's because a Shur is a living creature and Esh is not. Anyway, chomer be'esh me'beshur, continues the Braisa. There was a chumra of fire over shur. Sho'esh mu'edas mitchilasa. Fire is mu'ad to begin with. There's no such thing as tam and mu'ad when it comes to fire. Mashenkin b'shur. On the other hand, with shur, you have a shur as far as goring is not mu'ad to begin with. Only after it does it three times does it become mu'ad. Next, continues the Braisa. Now you also have a chumra between in eish over burr, or the other way around, the chumra in burr over eish. You have a chumra when it comes to a burr and hezek that's caused through that versus fire. Shetchilas asiyasi l'nezek, because again, like we said before, a burr to begin with is a hazard. A fire is not considered to be, obviously a fire is hazard to begin with, is hazardous to begin with as well. But the difference is you have every right to light a fire in your property. If it spreads afterwards, that's when you're chayev. But to begin with, you have every right to light a fire for your needs in your property. So we can't say tchilas asiyasi l'nezek. We can't say when you first made it, it's a hazard that you should be chayev for. Because no, if you take care of your fire, it won't ever become. As opposed to a burr, you're digging in Rishos Arabim, and you had no business doing that in the first place. And mosri l'cheres shor to a cotton chayev. And like we learned before, if you have a cheres shor to a cotton, watch your burr. when it's covered according to the Shlokish, when it's covered according to, when it's uncovered according to the Yechanan, chayev, then you're going to be chayev, mashenken ve'esh, as opposed to with a fire, it's not like that, like we learned before. On the other hand, there's a chumra in fire over bur, because fire tends to go and cause damage. It doesn't cause damage just staying in one place. Furthermore, fire is mu'ad both as far as things that are that it's usual for fire to burn and things that it's not usual for fire to burn, as the Gemara will explain in a few lines what that means. That fire can, that we're going to see soon what roi la and what ain roi la means. Mashen can be burr, as opposed to a burr where there are certain things. So a burr obviously doesn't travel, a burr generally doesn't travel and do damage. We did talk about the other day a case of burr hamisgalgo baragla adam or baragla behema, where a person put, for example, a rock in Rosh Hashanah Abim, and then people or animals go kick it around and it causes damage someplace else. So you have cases of a burr that moves around. There we talked about who's chayev for it exactly, but in general, a burr stays put and causes damage where it is, as opposed to fire. And as far as bur versus esh, we're saying that esh, there's no limitation on what kind of things you chayev for when your fire destroyed something, as opposed to bur, there are limitations, as we're going to discuss in the Gemara in a minute. Okay, so mashen can be bur, as opposed to a bur is not like that. So the Gemara asks, going through all these distinctions, v'lisni chomer b'shomer b'bur. Now, so we went through the difference between we went through the difference between shur and bur. We went through the differences between shur and esh and between bur and esh. So fine. So we've covered all the obvious nezikin, or not all. Okay, we learned before there are other obvious nezikin, but still we've covered all the ones that are relevant to talk about in this braisa. But when we said the chumras of a shur over a bur, the listeni, why didn't the braisa also mention chomer b'shomer b'bur, sha'ashur chiyuv b'ris hakelim mashenken b'bur? There's another distinction. With a shur, you're going to be chayev in cases of kelim. But on the other hand, a bur not, because like we just said, bur, when the Gemara learns later on in the Masechta that when it says a shur or chamur for an ox or a donkey falls into a bur, we learn from that from within a miut, it means a shur but not a person, a chamur means but not kalim. So now on the other hand, with shur, now a shur goring is not necessarily going to gore kalim, but Rashi points out we did learn at the beginning of the Masechta that there are toldos of keren, and that includes, for example, if the animal, besides goring, there could be for the animal, for example, where the animal kicks. So yes, you could very well have kalim that are damaged by that are damaged by an animal goring or kicking or whatever, and the person and the owner of the shur is perfectly well chayev for those kalim. On the other hand, by a bur or not. So why didn't the Braisa mention that point? And the answer is homani Rabbi Yehuda he demachayev on this kalim a bur. The answer is, you could say this braisa is specifically according to Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with that limud, and he says a person is chayev for kalim falling into a bur and getting damaged. We're going to learn that later on in the Masechta. Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham are going to discuss where they get their respective opinions from. Well, the Gemara asks, E Rabbi Yehuda, if you're going to tell me that our braisa is like Rabbi Yehuda, Ema Sefer, then look at the next. Then look at the next part of the braisa, where it continued, chomer be'esh mi b'bur. We said there's a chumra in fire compared to bur, sha'esh darka leilachol hazik, because we said fire travels and causes hezek, unlike a bur stays put. U'mu'edas lechol ben dover haroila or ben dover she'en haroila. And we said fire is mu'ad to consume and to destroy things that are roi for it, things that are usually destroyed by fire, and things that are not. So let's consider mashenken b'bur, and we said as opposed to a bur is not like that. So let's consider my dover haroila my new. Let's assume we should assume that what is dover haroila? What does it mean in terms of fire? Things that are roi for the fire probably means eitzim, wood. Wood is something that normally is used to stoke a fire, and therefore. And it's something expectable that you used your wood to create a fire. And we're saying therefore if your fire burns somebody else's wood, you're chayev. So what would Dabar She'ena Roila, my Ninu, what would we assume that Dabar She'ena Roila, what would that be, would include Kalim. Not that Kalim are not flammable, but the point is, you don't usually use Kalim as firewood. So in other words, let's assume, doesn't it mean that Roila and She'ena Roila means what you would to begin with put into it. So therefore, Mashein can be Burr, and you're saying, unlike a Burr, where there is that distinction, Rabbi Yehuda, and if you're going to tell me the Brai says, like Rabbi Yehuda, Ha'amet Machayev Ha'yir Rabbi Yehuda Al Niska Kalim Abur. Didn't you just say that Rabbi Yehuda holds that Kalim or that you are Chayev if they fall into a burr? So therefore, so you wouldn't have a distinction with fire, whether it burns wood or whether it burns Kalim, you're going to be Chayev. And with a burr, whether an animal falls in there or whether Kalim fall in there, you're going to be Chayev. So the Braisa on the face of it can't be like Rabbi Yehuda. It has to be like the Chachamim. And if it's like the Chachamim, then why did it leave out the point that a shur is chayev for kalim, that a shur is chayev for kalim, and a bur is potter when you do have that valid distinction? So the Gemara answers Ela la'olam rabbanani. No. So you can answer after all. The Braisa is according to the Chachamim. So you're wondering then in that case, why didn't it mention that a shur is chayev on kalim and a bur is potter? You could say the return of a shire, because the Tana doesn't have to list everything. The Tana left out some details. Well, the question is, as always, my shire to high shire. If you want to say he left out one thing, what else did he leave out with it? Because when a Tana doesn't usually leave out one thing from a list. If he leaves out one thing, it usually means because he holds that one doesn't apply. But if he leaves out two or more things, then you could say that it's normal for him because he doesn't have to give the entire list. So what else did the Tana leave out that you can now say he left out this distinction? And the answer is Shire Tomun. You could answer the Braisa also left out the case of Tomun. We talked about the other day. We're going to learn in more detail in the sixth parak of our Masechta that you have, when it comes to fire, we said you're chayev. The Pasuk says that, for example, you made a fire and it spread and it destroyed somebody else's field. It destroyed somebody else's stack of grain or a standing grain. Then you're chayev. We learn from that later on in the Masechta that you're potter for tumun if there were things hidden. So, for example, the other guy had a stack of grain and inside the stack was hidden something else. You will be potter for what was inside that stack, or rather, we'll consider as though that area inside it was just full of wheat or barley, whatever the rest of the stack is made out of, and then you're going to be paying the value of that rather than the value of the actual kalim. Now, on the other hand, when it comes to and Rashi says by the same token, when it comes to a burr, suppose that an animal is walking by and it's carrying a bag full of grain. Then you will be chayev. The concept of tumun does not apply to a burr. So therefore, so we see the Braisa left out that distinction as well. Tosfa says actually you don't really need to do that. In any case, you actually would be potter for the grain in the bag, not because of tumun. It's true that tumun doesn't apply to a burr, but rather because anything that's not an animal is called kalim. Anyway, the point is the Braisa left out that distinction when it discussed burr versus esh. It left out the distinction that with the other obvious nizikin that we mentioned, you are chayev for tumun. So say, for example, Rashi says, say an animal kicked a bag full of kalim and broke them, you're going to be chayev. So tumun doesn't apply over there. Tumun doesn't apply to burr, because again, even if like Rashi says, even if an animal carrying a bag of grain falls into the burr, you are going to be chayev for the grain as well. According to Tosfos, you'll be potter, but not because of tumun, but rather because of kalim. On the other hand, with fire, you are going to be potter for tumun. So that's another distinction the Braisa left out. So fine, so you could say the Braisa didn't mention every single detail. Or another answer, you could say that in fact the Braisa does go according to Rabbi Yehuda. Now you were asking in that case, if we assume that by Eish, Dabar HaRoila means things that are normally used for fire, namely wood, and Dabar She'en Roila means things that are not normally used, namely kalim, then you said, how does that work according to Rabbi Yehuda? The answer is, that's not the definition. But Dabar She'en Roila, lav la'asuya kalim, it doesn't necessarily come to include kalim. Because in fact, a person might indeed be a person might indeed be chayev for kalim when well, a person would be chayev for kalim not only with Eish but with the other Ovis Nezikin as well. In fact, Tosfos discusses a few blocks earlier that again you could be chayev for kalim when it comes to when it comes to shur, for example, and when it comes to some of the other some of the other ones. So I actually rather what Tosfos says over there rather is that like this later on in the Masechta we're going to discuss what is the nature of the hezek of bur. What is it that we have to assume caused the animal's death such that you, the owner of the burr, should be chayav? Is it the banging? Is the fact that the animal falls into the burr and gets banged against the bottom of the burr? Or is it the hevel? Is it the stale air in the burr that causes the animal to suffocate? Now, Tosfos points out earlier, when it comes to kalim, you don't have that really because the stale air in the burr is not going to harm kalim. So kalim can be considered not roi for a burr in the sense that a burr, if we take up the view that the problem with a burr is the stale air, then that's not going to harm kalim. Only if we say the problem is chavta, the banging, then of course that can affect kalim as well. Anyway, that was Tosfos a few blocks ago. But anyway, the point is that we would say that it doesn't come to include kalim. In fact, there's not necessarily a difference between kalim and there's no difference with kalim as far as Eish and as far as the other Ovis Nezikin. Rather, we can say the Braisa means to come to include where the fire comes, where the fire licked up the other guy's plowed field, and now he has to plow it again, or where it singed his stones. So therefore, now those stones, they haven't been burnt by the fire, but they've been damaged, and now they're smoky and sooty or whatever it is because of the fire. Where there we're saying you chayev regardless. Whereas when it comes to a burr, such things when it comes to a burr, you don't have that. So therefore, you could say that the Braisa is not leaving out anything. The Braisa is not leaving out anything if we say it's according to Rabbi Yehuda. And when the Braisa says, Dabar haroi lo v'dabar she'ein haroi lo, what it means is, with fire, you chayev, even if it's something that doesn't normally get affected by fire, for example, field or stones, as opposed to by burr, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that you're chayev for kalim in a burr, but you still have, there are things that are not roi to be damaged in a burr. For example, kalim, if they get broken, sure, but if it's just, if not, then the hevel, the stale air of the burr doesn't harm them. So therefore, you could understand the braisa that way. Tosfos points out somewhat differently. The distinction when we're saying, as far as a plowed field, so Rashi implies, in other words, that the difference is by a burr. It's not relevant to talk about lichanir v'sich sechavonav because those don't fall into a burr. Tosfos says not a matter of they don't fall in. In that case, you could also say a fire could burn down somebody's house and a burr is not going to damage somebody's house. So rather, Tosfos says the point is that an eish doesn't usually damage a plowed field of stones as opposed to a burr. And nevertheless, if the fire does damage the plowed field, you're going to be chayev, as opposed to a burr, where if an animal falls into a burr less than 10 tefachim, you're not going to be chayev for the death of the animal, because like we talked about the other day, and we're going to talk about soon in the Gemara, only a burr 10 tefachim or deeper is generally capable of causing the death of an animal. Whether we say it's because of chavta, because the animal gets banged up as it falls down, less than 10 tefachim is not a strong enough bang. Not a strong enough impact. And if you say it's because of hevla, because of the stale air, a burr that shallow doesn't have stale air in it. Anyways, that's another way of learning the braisa. So therefore, we don't have to say the Tana left out anything, and that would neatly answer the question why he didn't say the difference between that a shur is chayev for kalim and a burr is potter, because in fact, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you chayev for kalim in both. Okay, maskif lo Rabbi Ashi, but Rabbi Ashi points out another contradiction. Why you're saying if the braisa is according to Rabbi Yehuda, then you didn't leave out anything. But why didn't the braisa also mention there's a different chumra in shur over burr? When it comes to a shur, Now, we talked about the other day that that if your shur injures or kills a shur of hektish, you're going to be potter. But you can also have where it's not hektish anymore, where it was redeemed from hektish because it was posel. So you have an animal that was designated as a korban, and then so now it became a balmum. Now you can't bring it as a korban anymore. So you redeemed it. Now at that point, if your shur damages or injures or kills that shur, you're going to be chayev. Mashenkin b'bur, as opposed to by a bur, you're going to be potter. Rashi explains because by a bur, the posik uses the expression v'hames yiloi, the dead body of the animal will belong to him. We're going to talk about on Amud Beis what that means is that basically that the mazik uses that towards his payment. The point is, though, by Psula HaMakdoshin, you can't do that. Psula HaMakdoshin, if they're shechted, you're allowed to eat them, but otherwise, if it dies, then you're not allowed to use it for animal food. So if it falls into a bur and gets killed, we can't say v'hames yiloi. It doesn't belong to you in the sense that you can have any hana out of it. By a shur, Rashi points out, it does say v'hames yiloi. That we're going to talk about on Amud Beis. That has a different meaning by shur. So if your shur gores and kills an animal of psula hamakdashin, you're going to be chayev to the owner of that psula hamakdashin. But if you have a bur and a shur of psula hamakdashin falls into it, you will be potter. So why didn't the Gemara make that distinction? Why didn't the Braisa rather make that distinction? So says Rav Ashi, if you say that the Braisa is according to the Chachamim, then good. We said the Braisa, if we say it's according to the Chachamim, left out certain things that it could have. It didn't mention that you chayev for a shur with kalim and you potter with a bur, and it didn't mention the difference about Tomun, which both of those Rabbi Yehuda disagrees on. So the Braisa left out two things. So now we can say it left out a third distinction about Psula HaMakdashin. Eli, Amateur Yehuda, but if you say the Braisa is going to Rabbi Yehuda, my Shire Dahai Shire, then what else did he leave out that you can say he left out Shur Psula HaMakdashin? And the answer is Shire Dosh Ben Niroi. You could say that he left out where the animal trampled somebody else's plowed field. Namely, so Rashi says exactly that somebody has a field that they plowed and prepared it for planting, and now a your shur went in there and Rashi points out after a shur usually threshes, a shur is used to stamping on things. For example, you have to stamp on grain in order to thresh it. So therefore the animal is moored to do that. And now if it goes in that, because of that damages the ground, then it damages the plowing, and now you have to replow, then you're going to be chayim. As opposed to by a bur, such a thing is not relevant. So you could say the Braisa left that out. But the Gemara says, no, not necessarily. Imishum dosh benir, lav shiurahu. No, because that wouldn't be considered that you left out something. Shekein dehotana, shekein davka leila cholahazit. After all, we said that a shur regularly goes and causes hezek, so that would include anything that's considered under the category of shur would be in that category, and therefore, since an animal going and trampling a field, now fine, you're not necessarily going to say it's not a tolda of regal, because it's true that an animal regularly does that, but it doesn't necessarily go regularly and trample plowed fields, it goes and tramples grain. So therefore, so you would say it's a tolda of keren, fine, but we already said shadarka leila cholahazik, and that will be including anything where it's regular to go and cause damage. Therefore, it would include that. So therefore, you can't answer that the Braisa left that out. So it would be considered keren because kavanosei lahazik, and because it's something that the animal doesn't usually do. It doesn't usually trample plowed fields, but whatever, the Braisa already implicitly mentioned it. Therefore, you can't say that the Braisa now left that out, and therefore we can say it left out something else. Therefore, we have no choice but to say that the Braisa is not according to the Yehuda. It must be according to the Chachamim, and then we're saying that it left out three distinctions that it could have made. It could have made the distinction that a shur is chayev if it breaks kalim, whereas a bur is potter, which the Chachamim say. It could have mentioned the point that by the other, that by the other Oves Nizikin you chayev for Tamun for something that's hidden, and by Eish you potter, and it could have mentioned that by Bur you potter for Psula, for Shur Psulaim Akdoshin, and by the other ones you chayev. Okay, so that's that then. The reason, again, the reason we brought this Braisa and discussed it is because the Braisa, in the middle of it, mentioned the point about giving a bur or a shirt, or a cheder shirt to a cotton, which was a point that we touched on yesterday in the Gemara. Okay, continuing now with the next part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah had continued, Hishtauti b'mikzas nizkoi. The Braisa had said, the Mishnah rather, had said, if I have enabled part of the Nezek, then I become chayev to pay the Nezek as if I enabled the entire Nezek. So what does that mean? Hichsharti b'michtas nizkei. Tonan abonin, we learn in a braisa. Hichsharti b'michtas nizkei, chavti b'tashlomi nizkei, kehechshar kol nizkei, keitzad. What does the statement in the Mishnah mean? For example, hachofer bur atisha, if a person digs a pit that is 9 tfachim deep, and we've learned before 9 tfachim is capable of causing only damage to an animal, it's not ordinarily capable of killing an animal, and therefore if an animal dies in a burr 9 tfachim deep, you, the owner of the burr, are not chayev, because you can say that's an onus. Somebody else went and dug 1 tefach more deep, and now it becomes capable of causing misa. Ha'achrin chayev, that last one is going to be chayev for whatever happens to the animal. Meaning, he can't say, well, I didn't dig the first 9 tefachim, it shouldn't be my fault. No, we say that he's going to be chayev not only for misa, the second one is going to be chayev even for nezikin. Rashi and Tosfos both refer to later on in the Masechta. We're going to discuss why that should be so, since the Pasuk talks about a burr in connection with Misa. So we learn from that the one who made the burr capable of causing Misa is the one who's also going to be chayev for the Nizakin. So that would be what the Mishnah means. So here he wasn't Hichshauti Kol Nizko. He didn't create the entire Nezek because there was 9 Tefachim before him. He only created the 10th Tefach, and nevertheless we're being Machayev him for whatever happens with that burr. In which case, our Mishnah, rather, when it makes that point, and the Braisa that expands on it, would not be like Rebbe. The Tanya, as in fact we learn in a Braisa, Chofa Bor Tisha, if one person digs a bur 9 tefachim deep, or Bor Achav Yishlimi La'asara, and another person goes and completes and makes the 10th tefach, Achren Chayev, then the last one only is going to be Chayev for the Misa or the Nezikin. So even if an animal fell in there and only got injured, we can't say, well, the original owner of the original digger of the burr made it deep enough for Nizok, and therefore he should be chayev. No, we say the second guy is chayev for everything. Rebbe Omer, Acha in the Misa, Acha Shneim the Nizokin. Rebbe says, no, sure, the second one is chayev for Misa, because without him, there wouldn't have been a burr capable of causing Misa. But when it comes to Nizokin, Rebbe says both of them are going to be chayev in Nizokin. So for Nizokin, anything more than 3 tefachim. So or whatever, I mean, we'll talk about it later in the Masechta, if there's an exact number, but definitely here, you're talking about that it was 9, then that's already definitely capable of causing Nizokin, and then yeah. So in short, the statement in our Mishnah then would not work according to Rebbe, because according to Rebbe, you can't say, if I made possible part of the Hezek, then I'm Chayev for all of it, because according to Rebbe, I'm not Chayev in all of it. I, together with the original digger, am Chayev. So I'm not Chayev in Kol Nizkoi. There is, by the way, an interesting discussion among Rishonim. So what happens if it's not 9 versus 10? What if it's, for example, 8 versus 9? So either way, it's going to cause damage, not Misa, but are we going to say that, if one person made 8 and the next person digs the 9th Tefach, is only the second one going to be Chayev for Nizokin? Tosfos later on in the Masechta says that no. In that case, both of them, even the Chachamim, are going to agree that both of them are Chayev, because both 8 and 9 are capable of causing Nizokin. On the other hand, Rabbeinu Yohonasan says that no, And then there are other Rishonim who hold the same way, that even in that case, only the last one is going to be Chayev. The reason we mentioned 9 versus 10 is because we wanted to point out the difference where now he created a new kind of burr that's capable of causing Misa, and Rebbe says both of them are Chayev and Nizokin. What about also, you have the Tosfos also points out on Omid Beis, what happens if one of them made it 10 and the other one made it 11? Definitely then the first one is going to be chayev for everything, because he already created a burr that's capable of causing Misa. Anyway, Okay, so therefore, so that's what the Mishnah means. And we're saying the Mishnah then does not go according to them. But the Gemara asked, Maskiflo Rav Zeira. So Rav Zeira says, I have a question on that. Why are you, sorry, I skipped a line. I skipped a few lines, actually. Rapapa Amala Misa V'Divrei Hakol. Rapapa says, you don't have to say the Braisa is not, the Mishnah is not according to them. You can say that we are talking about where we're talking about Misa according to everybody. If Reuven dug a bur 9 tefachim and Shimon dug the 10th tefach and Rebbe agrees that Shimon is only the one chayev for Misa, Shimon can't say, well, I didn't dig 10 full tefachim. I shouldn't be chayev alone for the Misa of the animal. I should share the responsibility with Reuven. We don't say that. So therefore, our Mishnah can be made to work according to Rebbe as well.
But the tenth.
Tefach, yeah.
That's where it's the psukim in the code.
Right, that's what we're saying. In other words, because now he made the 10th tefach, now he made it a bird that's capable of killing. So Rebbe is saying that therefore he alone is chayav for Misa. So now, first we were saying that our Mishnah must be talking about Nezokin, and in that case it's not according to Rebbe. Now we're saying the Mishnah can be talking exclusively about the Misa, about where the Shur died, and even Rebbe is going to agree that exclusively he is chayav. Therefore, that will fit with the words of the Mishnah. Hichshauti mitzas nizgoy, if I enabled part of the Nezek, namely before we had a bur here that was capable of causing Nezek but not death, I added the extra part, the extra tefach that makes it now capable of killing an animal, then I'm chayav for the entire thing, and we're not going to say that I should be chayav for only part of the
Misa.
Only part of the Misa of the animal, and the other guy should be chayav for the rest. No, Rebbe is going to say exclusively, I am chayav. Yeah.
The second part is different.
Maskiflo Rav Zeira, but Rav Zeira asks on that, the Tuleka, why does the Braisa have to mention specifically the case of Achoifa Botisha or Va'achavish Shlimin La'asara? Why don't we have other cases as well? And the point of the question is, Tosfa says, I mean, what is the Braisa supposed to list every possible case? No, the point of the question is, So far, everything that we were saying involves a doichel. When the Braisa mentions the case of a bur of 9, and then the next person dug the 10th tefach, we have a doichel in it. Either it forces us to say that our Mishnah is not like Rebbe, and we would rather not do that. We'd rather say a stam Mishnah goes according to everybody. Or we have to say, like Rav Papa, that we're focusing only on Misa and not Nezikin, where the Mishnah makes it, and the Braisa make a generic statement, that make it sound we're talking about Nezakin as well. So the question for Tuleka is, why didn't the Braisa pick a different example where we could say it's not only Misa versus Nezikin, it's not only according to the Chachamim versus Rebbe? Why did the Sir Rav Zeira is going to find us an example where Rav Zeira is going to find us a logical example. Rashi points out he's not going to be bringing this statement of his from a Mishnah or a Braisa, but a plain logic where we have an example where one person caused or enabled only part of the Nezik, but he's chayav for the whole thing. And then we don't have to say it's only like, it's not like Rebbe. Then we don't have to say it's only Misa versus Nezikin. So that case would be, suppose a person gave an ox over to 5 people to watch. One of them was careless and did not take care of the animal, and it got away. And the shur caused damage. Well then, chayev. That one who was pesheya is chayev. He could say, wait, I'm only one of 5. Why shouldn't the other 4 be responsible as well? So we see there is an example. He enabled part of the Nezik, shouting mitzvah nizkoy, and logic tells us he should be chayav for the whole thing because he's the one who was pesheya. So why didn't the Braisa use that example? And the answer is because you can't. Heithi dummy, because what's the scenario? Ilema de Balav Ihu Lai have a minter. Are you talking about where this is an ox that's already known to be wild and it really takes all 5 of them to control the animal? And without him being involved, then the other 4 can't hold on to it. Pshita de Ihu Kavid. Obviously, he's the one who caused the hezek. You can't say Mixas Nizkoi. He caused the entire hezek. Ella de Balav Ihu Nami Minter. And if you're going to say without him, it would have equally well been guarded, the other 4 could have managed my Kovid. Then what did he do? Then the fact that he was Peshea is not a reason to be Mechayev him, because the fact is you had the other 4 who are the other 4 who are backing him up. That's according to Rashi. Tosfos actually explains differently. The question is not so much why he should be Chayev, but why we shouldn't say that we prorate it. We should say, in other words, my kovet tfei ma'achrini is how Tosfos says it. Each one should have to pay his portion. So according to Rashi, the question is he should be completely potter. According to Tosfos, the question is that he should be chayev only for his share of the nezek. Why are we making him chayev for 100% of it? So you have five people. So fine, you're saying there were five people. He was careless, but even without him, the other four could have managed. If now the ox gets away and causes damage, fine, you can be mechayev him for 20% of the damage, maybe. But why are you mechayev him for the whole thing? So therefore, that doesn't work, and therefore that's why the Braisa didn't give that example. Maskiflot of Sheshis. So the Pshesha says, I have another possibility that the Braisa could have bought. There could be a case where a person adds a bundle. Now Rashi explains that means, let's say, so one person lit a fire and somebody else went and added another bundle of wood to it. So that makes it more likely that that fire now is going stronger. To spread. It makes it stronger. So, and on the face of it, only that second one should be chayev, because without him, the fire never would have been big enough to spread. So why didn't the Braisa mention that? Again, he's only Chshavti Miktsas Nizgoy. He didn't create the entire Hezek. The fire was there before him. But nevertheless, he made it into the kind of fire that can spread. And again, Rav Sheshis is saying, by logic, we should say he's Chayev. The Rambam has a different understanding of Marba B'Chavila. The Rambam explains, you can have a case where a bunch of people are putting bundles on an animal, and the animal is still managing with it. And then one person puts on one more bundle, and the animal dies, literally the straw that broke the camel's back. So now we can talk about maybe the last one should be chayev, because up until him, the animal was managing just fine. And again, the answer is the Gemara says that doesn't work. Heichi dami, because what's the scenario? If without him putting that extra bundle, it wouldn't have gone. So let's first talk according to Rashi that gone means the fire. The fire wouldn't have spread without that extra bundle. Well, then Pshita, of course, he's chayev, because without him, there's no hezek. And if it was able to travel, if the fire was big enough to spread on its own, my COVID, then again, what did he do? Either according to Rashi, he should be completely potter, or according to Tosfos, we should be chayev only potter. Now, according to the Rambam, that we're talking about an animal with a burden, with burdens on it, then what it means is ib the balab iulai ozla. If without him putting the bundle, the animal already couldn't move, and then he put a bundle on it, of course, that's pshia. Then the animal is already struggling, can't even move with what it's carrying, and now he put a bundle on it and it collapsed and died. Then of course, actually, the Rambam phrases it. If what it is like this, if with the other bundles, it was able to walk, and now once he put the bundle on, then it stopped walking, then it shows his is the one, his is the straw that broke the camel's back, therefore he's going to be chayev. If to begin with, even before he put his bundle on, the animal was not able to walk, then he's potter, because already the other ones already were involved in overloading. So the Rambam understands our Gemara a little differently. If without him it wasn't walking, pshita, not poshit, he should be chayev. The Rambam is learning pshita, that he should be potter, because the fact is, even without him, it already wasn't walking. It was obviously overburdened. Even without him, he didn't add anything extra to make it to.
He actually killed him.
But we see that it was about to die even without him, because the fact that it came and walk with these packages anymore means already it's overburdened. That's what Rambam is saying, completely potter. Well, on the other hand, it was able to walk.
That he dealt the final blow.
Right, but that's the
point. That it wasn't walking, that it wasn't dead.
But the animal was already, the Rambam would learn that the animal was already on the verge of dying anyway. An animal is normally able to walk carrying a burden. So if it's already not able to walk, it shows that it's on the verge of dying anyway. You can't be machai of him for that final package that he put on, because already it wasn't walking without him, so already the other ones have practically caused the death of the animal. But Rambam goes on to say, if you don't know, if you're not sure, then all of them are going to pay equally. The point is, in other words, that the marba b'chavila, whether we understand like Rashi that we're talking about adding extra wood to a fire, or whether like the Rambam that we're talking about adding an extra burden onto an animal, either way, the Braisa couldn't have given that as an example of Hichshavti Miktas Nizgoy, Chavti B'Tashlomi Kol Nizgoy, because the fact is, it's not going to be that way. There isn't going to be any scenario where he only caused part of the Hezek and is chayev for all of it. Either he caused the entire Nezek and is chayev for it, or he did not cause the entire Nezek, and according to Rashi would be potter, and according to Tosfos is only paying for his share of it. So the Braisa couldn't have given that example. Maskiflo Rav Papa. So Rav Papa says, I have another contradiction. Vo'ika hod tanya. How about this that we learn in a Braisa? So until now, we were talking about things that what Reb Zera and Reb Sheshes brought was from Svara. Now Reb Papa is going to bring a Braisa where we have a case where one person makes the thing happen, where he's the straw that breaks the camel's back, and he's chayim. A braisa says, "Hey, she yoshua safsal echa b'leishavru." If five people sit on one bench and they don't break it, uba echa b'yoshav olav shibrei, and one more person comes and sits down and he breaks it, ha'achron chayev. Then that last one is chayev. V'omer Rapapa, and Rapapa says the case over here is going Papa bar Abba. We're talking about where we're talking about involving Papa bar Abba, who was a known person in those times who was fat. So therefore, so he sits down, and therefore he breaks it. Now, so you have a what? He wasn't. Was he was fat for saying Omni Heshmer Abba like Rav Nachum Chernobyl or that? I don't know, but whatever. He was a known person in those times who was very heavy set. Now, you have a few different explanations what Papa Bar Abba is doing. One way you could, Tosfos says, one first Tosfos brings from Rashbam that what we're talking about is that regular people, if you see a bench, you're entitled to sit on it. The other person put his bench out in Rosh Hashanah Abim, you have every right to sit on it. So if you're a normal sized person, then sure. And if the bench breaks because you sat on it, that's fine. It would be considered Mesa Machmas Malacha. The same way as if I borrow a bench from you and I sit on it in the normal way and it breaks, then I'm potter because Mesa Machmas Malacha, so it would be over here. What we're talking about is, to begin with, when you put out the bench, it's as if you said, I'm not allowing Papa Bar Abba and people like him to sit on this bench. Therefore, he would be chayev. So therefore, Tosfos says, in other words, what we mean is that we would have to say that all the five people who sat on that bench, all those five people, all the first five people were Papa Bar Abba. And then the sixth one comes and sits down. So then the Gemara is going to say soon that in certain cases we should argue that they were chayev because again none of them had the right to sit on the bench in the first place because all of them are heavy set. On the other hand, Tosfos says maybe you don't have to say that. You could say that the first few people were regular people. And Tosfos goes on to mention an actual case in Halacha. Tosfos mentioned that there was a case that was brought to the Rashbam where four people sat on a regular bench that belonged to an Amana. So Tosfos said, and they broke it. And Rabbi Azriel said that they're chayev to pay because what we're saying in the Gemara soon is that because he leaned on them, because Papa Bar Abba came and leaned on them and prevented them from getting up, therefore they're chayev, therefore they're potter. Otherwise, they would have been chayev, implying that if they sit on a bench then break it, then they're going to be chayev. On the other hand, so that's one possibility, is we're talking about that all of them were Papa Bar Abbas. The other possibility, Tosfos says, is no, that what we mean is that one of them was a Papa Bar Abba, and he, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, he leaned on them and prevented them from getting up. If it was anybody else sat on there, then they would be chayev as well, because they could have easily gotten up as soon as they see that the bench was about to break.
So let's
learn through the Gemara, then we'll talk about these possibilities. So maybe I shouldn't have brought it in so early. So again, so you have this case of the Braisa that mentions where Papa Bar Abba sits on a bench, then he's chayev. Well, the Gemara says again, Hechidomi, what exactly is the scenario? If the bench wouldn't have broken without Papa Bar Abba sitting over there, Pshita, then of course he's chayev, because, and now it's not Hechshavti Mitzas Nizgoy, he's the entire one who caused the Hezek, because without him, the bench wouldn't have broken. Ela Debalav Ihunami Itvar, and if it was going to break even without him, my COVID, then again, what did he do? They should all be potter according to Rashi, or he should only be chayev for his share according to Tosfos. So the earlier Braisa, when it mentioned an example of our Mishneh, Chshavti Mitzas Nizgoy, can't be referring to this case because there's no Mitzas Nizgoy. Either he was Chshavti the entire Nezek and he's chayev for the entire thing, or he wasn't, or he's taken not chayev for the entire Nezek. What is the case where Chshavti Mitzas Nizgoy and he's chayev for the entire Nezek? No, so according to Rashi, he's completely potter. According to Tosfos, he's chayev only for his share of the Nezek. He'd be chayev. He's one of five people, so he'd be chayev for 20%, not for 100%. The Mishnah is saying a case where he caused only 20% of the Nezek and is chayev for 100%. What's the scenario? Well, the Gemara says, okay, Masnisa soif soif masnisa hechemetaritza. Okay, with Rav Zera's svara and Rav Sheshes' svaras. Fine, we could say okay, you know, fine. The svara doesn't work out. We didn't have a brisa that said so. So fine, we said that there, you can't say that in that case it's going to be chayev. Here we have a brisa saying that he's chayev. So how do we explain the brisa? And the answer is loit sricha. The belav you have a mitzvah betray shoy. The case of the brisa would be without Papa Ba'aba coming over there, the bench would have taken 2 hours to break. If they sit on it for 2 hours, then by the end of 2 hours, it's going to break. Vahashta itba b'chodesha. Now it breaks after only 1 hour. The amri le. So therefore, they have a claim against him. They can say, ilav at, if you hadn't sat down, have yasvinin, tvei purta v'kayomin, we would have sat down a little longer, and then we would have stood up. We would have made sure to stand up before the 2 hours are over, and therefore, we wouldn't have broke it. So now it's your fault. You're the one who caused the hezek. So therefore, you should be the one who's chayav to pay. Well, the Gemara asks, but you have the other way around. V'lei malahu, why can't he answer back to them? Ilav atun, if it weren't for you, b'didi lo have a mitbar, it wouldn't break with only me alone. So as soon as I sat down, you should have stood up. So why? So you should be joining in the hezek as well. And the answer is lo tzricha debahadi gesamach b'hu tovar. The chiddush is the braisa is talking about while he was leaning on them. While he was leaning on them, so we're talking about Rashi says we're talking about where without so let's go back to the original understanding. Without him, the bench never would have broken. So you're asking in that case, you're asking Pshita, isn't that obvious? When we first mentioned about Papa Ba'aba, we said Hey Chidomi, we said if without him it wouldn't have broken, Pshita, of course he should be chayav. Now Rashi says we're revisiting that point. What we're talking about is he didn't actually sit on the bench. He leaned on them. And therefore Tovar, and that caused the bench to break. So therefore he's chayav, even though he didn't sit on the bench. In which case the Gemara asks Pshita, well, obviously though, he's the one who caused it to break. And the answer is Ma'u Detema. You would have thought, maybe just causing his koyach of putting the extra weight on them is not considered like using his actual goof. Maybe it's considered only a groma. Maybe it's considered only an indirect hezit. And therefore he should be potter. Kamash Malon, therefore the Braisa says no, koichik gufoy dummy, his koyach is just like his goof. The cholech gufo tovar, koichin nami tovar, any case where if he breaks it with his body, he would be chayev. Then if he breaks it with his koyach, he's also going to be chayev. So that would be the case of the Braisa. So it's not so poshut, and we can't explain the Braisa that way, but nevertheless, we don't necessarily have a case where hechshauti miktsas nizgoy, where he caused part of the hezek. And therefore he should be chayav for all of it, because the fact is that he only, according to Rashi, he only was a contributor towards it by leaning on them, therefore he should be completely potter. And according to Tosfos, that as a contributor he should be chayav only for his portion of the nezek. So now we can go back to discussing what Tosfos says. Or are we talking about that all of them were Papa Ba'abas, and therefore all of them had no business sitting on this bench in the first place, and therefore each of them shares to a certain degree in the Nezek? Or are we talking about that, no, the rest of them were regular people, and the only reason why we can say that they have a reason to be Potter, because once he leans on them, they can't get up. If a regular person had leaned on them, that wouldn't prevent them from getting up.
It would last them 1 hour.
So now we're saying, never mind the 1 hour versus 2 hours. Now we're talking about that as soon as he leaned on them, then it broke. With all of that, by the way, also we have to mention, Rashi understands that when the Gemara answers with the Loit Sricha, talking about when he leaned on them, is going back to the original understanding that without him, it wouldn't have broken at all. Now, Agoris Agra brings over here that you don't necessarily have to learn that way. And in fact, he brings that the Tur does not understand it that way. That the Tur understands. We still are sticking with the 1 versus 2 hour business. But what we're saying, so according to Rashi, we're saying forget about the 1 hour versus 2 hour business. We're talking about just that. We're talking about that just he leaned on them and immediately it broke, where before that it wouldn't have broken at all. On the other hand, then again, the Tur understands it. The Tur understands it differently, and Goris HaGrub brings that over here from the Tur. That, no, we're talking about, again, this case of 1 hour versus 2 hours. We're saying the one guy sat down and it broke in an hour. But we're saying, why can't he say the other ones are chayiv as well? The answer is because he prevented them from getting up. If they were able to get up, then yes, he should be potter, because then it wouldn't have broken at all. But because he prevented them from getting up, then therefore he's chayiv. But he's chayiv, but he's not necessarily chayiv the entire thing. Okay. So the Gemara says, the two leka still. Going back to the Braisa Amud Aleph, we were trying to find an example of a Shouti Mimictus Nisko in Chabti Batashlumin Nisko, that if I cause only part of the hazard, I'm responsible for the entire thing. So we went through several scenarios so far, and we said none of them seem to work out. So how about another one? A Braisa says, Vahoika Hodatanya. What about we learn in a Braisa? He kuhu asoda bnei odem be'esem maklos. If 10 people hit a person with 10 sticks, each one takes a stick and hits him, whether they all hit him at one time or whether one after the other, all of them are going to be potter, because you don't know which one actually killed him. Tosfos points out it does have to be that each of the sticks is strong enough and it was a hard enough blow that it could have killed him. If not, then yeah, only the last one is going to be chayav. But here we're talking about, so the first one gives him a zetz, but it's not enough to kill him. Neither is the second one, neither is the third one. And now, by the end of the 10 of them, he's dead. So we don't know which one is the one who actually gave him the fatal blow.
That's the same as the first one.
Therefore, they're all potter. That's what we're saying. Yeah. Because the fact is, at the end of it, he's dead. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseda, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseda says, no, there's a difference. If it was one after the other, ha'achron chayiv and pitcher kedav as misase. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseda is going to say, if it was one after the other, the last one is going to be chayiv, because he caused the person to die. Now, unlike we talked about, let's say before, with an animal and packages on it, where you can talk about, according to the Rambam, once the animal stopped walking, then already you can say it's on the verge of death. You're not necessarily chayev for causing the death of the animal at that point. With people, it's not like that. Even if you have a person that's on the verge of death and a person kills him, he's chayev misa. So therefore, if you heard him say it, it says, it doesn't matter that after 9 people, he's already as good as dead. The fact is, he's not dead yet. On the other hand, only if it was b'vasachas, then he's going to be potter. So you see, in other words, there you have an example where one person causes only part of the hezek because he's the 10th one, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira makes him chayav misa. So we see there's an example of our Mishnah. Why didn't the Braisa on Amud Aleph use that? And the answer is b'ktolo le'kamayri. You could answer the Braisa doesn't want to talk about a case of misa of a person. It wants to focus on nizokin, where there's a chiyuv of money, not a chiyuv of misa. Another possibility is the Braisa doesn't want to deal with a case of which is subject to machloikas. The Gemara says, "Beloy, what do you mean? No, didn't we say before that the case the Braisa did bring involving the bor of 9 that they made 10? We said that Rebbe would disagree with the din that we said over there. So the Braisa apparently has no problem mentioning a case that's a subject to machloikas." And the answer is, Deloike Rebbe, you could Rabbonon Mukminen. Fine, to say that our Mishnah is not like Rebbe, to say that it's like Rabbonon, that we can do. Because then it means that the Mishnah is like the Chachamim. Fine, we would like that a Mishnah should be according to everybody, but if we have to say that it's only according to one opinion, better that should be the opinion of the Chachamim. Could have Yehuda been Mesed of like Rabbonon, like Mukminen. We don't want to say that our Mishnah is going to be only according to one Tana, according to a Das Yachid. We don't want to do that. Okay. The Mishnah had said, Chavti b'tashlumin nizkoy. The Mishnah had said that when I enabled part of the nezek, then I'm chayev for the payment of the whole nezek. So the Gemara points out, Chavti b'nizkoy le'katoni, elo b'tashlumin nizkoy. Now, the expression in the Mishnah is not, I'm chayev for the nezek. The expression in the Mishnah is, I'm chayev for the tashlumin of the nezek. That implies to fill in something. So that implies there's already a partial payment, and then I'm filling in the rest. So what does that mean? By that, therefore, we've learned briefly in the Mishnah what we learn in more detail in a Braisa, which means, therefore, that Braisa is reliable, and we can accept it la'alacha, because it's implied in our Mishnah, that when the posse, that tashlumei nezek melamed shabbailim etaplim minavela, when we talk about tashlumei nezek, means that the owner has to take care of the nevela, meaning, in other words, that the owner takes the nevela, and that serves as partial payment, and then the mazik pays for the rest. So for example, so I had a burr, let's say, so I had a shur, let's say, I had a shur muad to keep things simple so that the nezek shalim, and my shur killed yours, where now the shur was worth 100, now the nevela is worth only 20, so fine, so I have to pay you only another 80. Menahani, really, where do we know that from? Omer Ami, Da'amakram, Make Nefesh Behem Yishalmena. The pasuk says if a person kills an animal, Yishalmena, he should pay. Al Tikri, Yishalmena, Ela Yashlimena. So don't read Yishalmena, he should pay for it, but rather Yashlimena, that he has to make up the difference between the value of the nevela and the current and the current animal. Tosfos points out because yishalmena would imply you make the animal whole. But what do you mean? You can't make the animal whole, it's dead. So it means you fill in, therefore the Gemara is explaining that it means that you fill in the difference. Rav Kahana Oma Mehalcha, Rav Kahana says a different limud of it. The Pasuk says regarding a Shomer Sachar that he's chayav for Gnei V'Aveda, but he's potter for Einzin. And the Pasuk says, Im Torif Yitorif, if the animal is torn up by a wild animal, which therefore is onus, yivyehu aid, he should bring it as an aid. We'll learn in the Gemara tomorrow what exactly those words mean. The point is, the pasuk continues, ha-trefa lo yishalim, he does not pay for the trefa, but we darish in the word aid as if it was ad. Ad trefa yishalim, trefa atzmo lo yishalim. He has to pay up to the difference between the value of a live animal and the trefa, but not the trefa itself, because he can take the trefa itself and give it to the owner and say, this is worth $20 and you can use it as dog food or whatever. Chizkiya says, you have a third posik. The posik says, regarding an animal that falls into a burr, for example, the context of the posik is, well, you have two different psukim. One where shur killed another one where shur falls into a burr. You have the expression in those psukim, v'hames yaloi, the mess belongs to him. So that means l'nizek. That means it belongs to him, to the nizek, and therefore you pay the rest. V'chein tonet v'chizki. And in fact, we learn in a braisa from the yeshiva of Chizki, exactly like that. V'hames yaloi means l'nizek. Ata omer l'nizek ein el l'mazik. Maybe v'hames yaloi means that the animal, but means that the dead animal belongs to the mazik. In other words, he's forced to keep it, and he still has to pay the whole amount. Amrit loy kachoya. The braisa says you have to say it's not like that. My loy kachoya, what does that mean? What's wrong with that logic? Amar Abaya, because isakadait from the veil of the mazik. If you're going to think it means the nevela belongs to the mazik havya, that it belongs to the mazik, and he has no right to tell the nizik, you have to accept it. Lichtev rachmana shur tachas a shur v'lishtek. Then the pasuk could just say, you have to pay one shur instead of another shur. We're talking about a shur muad. You have to pay the value of the shur v'lishtek, and stop right there. V'ames yaloi lomali. Why does it add the words v'ames yaloi? Shmamin olonizik. And the Gemara, so now we have three different limudim. Now, why do we actually need all these limudim? Each amora is bringing a different limud, but the fact is we have all of them in the psukim, so why do we need all of them? So it's tzricha, we need all of them. If you only had the one about killing an animal, yishalmena, you would say mishum delay shchicha. You would say that case is talking about where a person kills somebody else's shur. That's an uncommon case. So therefore, you would say that maybe we would say the rule that he can give him the nevela as partial payment. Aval trefa d'shchicha. But when it comes to the case of an animal was ripped up by a wild animal, it's very common. A maloi. Maybe you would say that not tzricha. Therefore, the pasuk needs to tell us in the case of the trefa. The Iashmin and Trefa Mashum de Mela. On the other hand, a Trefa happens on its own. You didn't cause the animal to be killed. You were negligent, or maybe not even negligent, whatever. It was onus. You couldn't protect it against the animal, and therefore it was killed. Avamaka behema, but when a person kills somebody else's animal, to be a dime, he did it with his own hands. A maloi, maybe he shouldn't be able to get away with giving the nevela. The Iashmin Hani Tauti. If we only had those two, you would say Homishum de Lechikhva, Homishum de Mela. Fine, each one has a kula of its own. Aval ma messi aloy, but you're talking about the pasuk where one shur kills another. The shchicha uvi yadayim. It is a common case, and it was biyadayim. My shur killed your shur. Ema aloy. You would think that not. So therefore, we have to be told in that case as well. The yashmin and hamessi aloy mishum de mamona kamazik. You would say because in that case, your mamon caused the hazard. Aval hocha the begufa mazik. But when it comes to makke behema, you yourself with your guf killed the animal. And in the case of trefa also, you were watching the animal and then a wild animal came and attacked. Aim aloy, so you would say that not tzricha, and therefore we need all of them. Okay, so we'll continue this discussion tomorrow.